It's Dear Instructional Designer, episode 18. Hey everyone, welcome to Dear Instructional Designer, the show about the instructional design journey. I'm your host, Kristen Anthony. This one is for all of you instructional design subredditors who are teachers looking to break into instructional design. Today I sit down with Alyssa Gomez, teacher turned ID, who is currently at work within the professional development department of her school district. Alyssa offers some great insight on her journey and how other teachers looking to increase their reach can look within the district as a first step to breaking out and into ID. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Alyssa. Let us get started. All right. So, Alyssa, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you became an instructional designer?
Sure. So, you know, I kind of have a similar journey to a lot of other instructional designers in that my career didn't actually start in instructional design. I just kind of fell into it one day, luckily, because it's something I'm incredibly passionate about now. But originally, I got my undergrad degree in education, and then I went on to get my master's degree in educational leadership. So if you would have asked me, you know, where are you headed in your career right after I graduated, I probably would have said something like school administrator, you know, assistant principal, something like that, because that was just the path, you know, for people in education. So I started out teaching middle school math, and I did that for about 4 years. And, you know, right about that time, I started to kind of get that itch to do something more, to get out of the classroom and really expand my reach. So from there, I got a position writing and delivering face-to-face training for teachers. And on the team that I joined, we really had two groups. We had one team that delivered face-to-face training, and that was the team I was on. Then we had another team that developed online training using Articulate Storyline. So I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. I never had heard of that software before or anything like that. So, you know, I started dabbling with it a little bit, and I was just immediately hooked by it. And so I spoke with my boss and said, hey, you know, what do you think about me developing this training online, the one that I had just developed for a face-to-face session? Can I try to develop it online? And she said, sure. And so after that first project, I actually never went back to doing face-to-face training.
Oh, awesome.
She allowed me to continue developing online training. And I just realized after doing that was really where my talent was. I'm more of a behind the scenes kind of person anyway. So it was a perfect fit. You know, the crazy thing is 2 years ago, I didn't even know what an instructional designer was.
Right. Yeah.
I had never heard of the term. And now 2 years later, it's something I'm incredibly passionate about. And now I lead a team of 4 instructional designers. And we provide online training for our entire school district. So.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so you got to stay within the school district.
Yes. I'm still working in the school district, and we provide all of the professional development.
Awesome. So, you know, Alyssa, a lot of people, like on the instructional design subreddit, are teachers who are looking to get into this. I mean, so you just described your transition a little bit. I mean, but how did that happen? Like, did you just go and look for an instructional design job or?
So my story is actually kind of crazy. So, there was someone who I was an acquaintance with, and one day she approached me. We really didn't know each other that well, but we knew each other's names, at least, and kind of our careers and things like that. She knew I was a teacher. And she just approached me one day and said, hey, you know, I know you're a teacher. Are you looking to get out of the classroom? And I was like, well, yes, I am. tell me more, you know? And so she said, well, you know, I happen to know of a position within the central office where you could develop face-to-face trainings for teachers and do, you know, professional development. And I was like, wow, yeah, that sounds really cool. Because at the time, I didn't really know where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of looking around, but I really wasn't like searching for a new job. You know, I just had in my mind, I had just thought, you know, this is, I'm not sure I want to continue in the classroom, and I'm kind of ready to see what else is out there, but still within the field of education, still making that impact ultimately on kids, right. You know? So, I didn't really know where to go or what to do. And so that just kind of happened for me. But, you know, I would say for those who are kind of looking for a similar thing, that is the perfect route, becoming a face-to-face trainer. Because you really do learn a lot of instructional design principles from that. Mm-hmm. And then if you also have that love for tech, which I do, and you have that eye for design, then online training is great, you know? So that's really what I would recommend, is kind of looking in your school district's professional development department, if they have one. You know, I work for a very large school district, so right. We do have a professional development department, but you know, not all school districts have that, but that's a great place to start.
Awesome advice. Yeah, I think a lot of people will benefit from that.
So, Alyssa, what are some of the best parts of your job?
You know, I feel like one of my favorite parts about my job is also one of the most challenging parts of my job. That would be, you know, working really closely with SMEs, and especially the ones who are brand new to e-learning. They've never developed an online course before. I really love just that consulting aspect of it, mm-hmm. helping them to develop their training goals and their objectives. A lot of times they come to us without knowing what the goals of their training are. They'll have just some content written, but there's really not a lot of thought put into, well, what's the whole purpose behind this training? Why do we feel like this training is necessary? So I enjoy helping them to figure that out, mm-hmm. and then to tailor the course around those goals and objectives.
So that's actually really interesting, because I would have thought that sort of as a former teacher in the school district now doing instructional design work, that you guys would sort of be your own SMEs. So you guys actually still work with people?
Yes. Okay. So yeah, that's a great question. So we actually are not our own SMEs. So the different departments within our school district would be our SMEs. So for example, we have a special education department. They are the ones who request all of the special education online trainings. We have a gifted and talented department, you know, same thing. So we don't create our own trainings. We are the ones who are kind of like that online course development department. And mm-hmm. and then if you have an online course you want to develop, then you contact us and we'll help you do that.
Okay. Yeah. It's really interesting. So, I mean, sort of as a segue to that, what do you think are some of the other unique things about the context in your field? So how is working as an instructional designer within a school district maybe mm-hmm. different?
Well, you know, I've never been in any other field, so I'm not sure if this is completely unique to education, but I do think it is unique just in that, you know, the subject matter of the content we work with is incredibly vast. Mm-hmm. If you start to think about all of the employees within a school district, you've got like school nurses, bus drivers, librarians, special education teachers, cafeteria workers, principals, you know, you've got all kinds of people.
Right.
And they all need training. And so, you know, the requests that we get for online course, every single one of them are different. So the content never gets boring in that respect, you know, because it's just all different types of subject matters. I would say that most of the courses we develop are soft skills training, kind of more of that information-based type training, which I find can be a challenge at times. Mm-hmm. I personally prefer the performance-based type training. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, an SME will come to us with content that starts out very information-based, but depending on the topic, we can help them rewrite it into more of a performance-based training. So, but yeah, I would say that would be something that's kind of unique about our role. And also, some of the trainings we develop are intended for all of those audiences. You know, so we have to keep that in mind when we're developing training, that a principal could be taking this course as well as a bus driver. Mm-hmm. And it has to be relevant to both of them. And it has to be applicable to both of them. So that can be a challenge in itself, but it's a really interesting challenge. And it's one that we really enjoy working with.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you feel like you can talk about it, what do you guys' courses sort of look like? I mean, is it like these long form courses that people are expected to sort of sit at their desk and do, or mm-hmm. yeah, what do you guys, you know, what does it look like?
Well, so this actually brings up another interesting thing that is unique about our context, is that I think in a lot of fields, courses are worth credits. So for example, if you take this online course, you get 3 credits. Mm-hmm. Well, within a school district, at least ours, courses are worth hours. So like, let's say 3 hours, 6 hours, something like that. And that's based upon the face-to-face version. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if somebody has a 3-hour face-to-face training and they want to develop it online, a lot of times they want the participant to have to take 3 hours to complete it. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we have to kind of walk them through that whole process of, you know, seat time is not going to be the same for every person. You know, if this is an annual training that they have to take every year, they've seen it year after year, you know, they're going to fly through it. They're not going to take 3 hours, versus if it's a new employee or a new teacher, you know, it might take them a little bit longer. So some of them are quite long for that reason. I won't say that it takes a full 3 hours, you know, to complete, but they are quite long. We have started offering some blended solutions, mm-hmm. Which I really enjoy those, because these are trainings where the teachers will attend something face-to-face, and then they go home and they do an online component, and then they come back together and they share some type of product that they've developed, you know. So I really enjoy those type of trainings. I think that they're incredibly effective. And then we've also started doing some webinar trainings as well. We started doing webinars just to communicate information out to all of our SMEs. And they've written back and said, hey, you know, that was really fun, and I think I could do this, you know, for my audience. Like, can you show us how mm-hmm. to make this webinar? So we started offering that solution as well.
Awesome. Yeah. I imagine that the blended courses are super, super interesting for the teachers as well. Like, that just sounds like a lot of fun to be able to come back and So, Alyssa, what would you say, given that you came from the classroom, now you're an instructional designer and you're a few years in, what are some methods and skills that you've developed to help you do your job better?
I think one skill that has really helped me a lot, and I have not completely developed this, let me start out by saying that I'm still learning this, mm-hmm. But it's learning how to push back with an SME, mm-hmm. to become more of a consultant rather than a pair of hands or an order taker.
Right. Yeah.
That's just so huge. And I think when I first became an instructional designer, you know, mind you, I had no idea what instructional design was. I didn't go to school for it. So I didn't really know that you had to actually rewrite content. And I know that sounds crazy, you know, but in the beginning, no one ever told me that. Mm-hmm. It was just, if you get a 100 slide PowerPoint, you just turn that into a storyline file, mm-hmm. you know? And so, through my own research and just learning that I've done, you know, I've now learned that that's not always the most effective way to train the audience. And so getting the SMEs to also understand that can be a challenge. And learning how to push back just enough, you know, not so much that it makes them nervous or makes them lose trust in you, but push back just enough so that they can see that you are the expert in this and you know how to best deliver a training online and how to immediately capture the attention of the audience and how to maintain that attention, you know, throughout the entire course, and how to make it really, really job embedded, you know, mm-hmm. so that it's applicable to what they do every single day. It's not just death by bullet point, you know? So I think it's being an instructional designer is almost like being a salesman in a way, because you have to really learn how to sell the value mm-hmm. of e-learning and really kind of get them to see what you're seeing and what you're envisioning.
Yeah, I mean, I am right there with you. When I first started out, my first project was basically, hey, we created this thing and you should put it in Storyline. And that was sort of it. And it was super frustrating. I talked to Brian Washburn a little bit about this. It was super frustrating to hear all this stuff about, you should be saying no and you should mm-hmm. be pushing back. And mm-hmm. it's like, how do I do that? But yeah, it seems like you've learned over time to do that in a way that's still respectful, but in a way that it says, hey, I have ideas about this and I think that we should maybe talk about it.
Yeah. And you know, I always have to remind myself the SME is the expert in this content area. Mm-hmm. And to them, every sentence in the content is important, you know, because they work really hard to write this content and they feel that every piece of it is important and should be included in the course. And so you have to, like you said, that word respect is so good, because you have to respect that. You have to respect that they are the experts in this field and you're not, mm-hmm. but we are the experts in how to transform this content that they've written into the online environment. So it's really a collaborative effort.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. And so with that, what would you say is a model or a process that you use, or maybe that you've helped your team to use for that kickoff and that collaboration when you're first starting a project, and you know, maybe give us some insight as to why that works for you.
Yeah. So we start out by sending a questionnaire, and this gives us a real high level overview of the project. You know, that questionnaire has questions like, what's the purpose of this course? Do you have any data that supports the need for this course? Hmm. You know, and that's a new question that we've added recently, because we want to be able to look back after 6 months and after a year and see, has this data improved?
Right.
You know, and we're really kind of getting into the whole, how do we measure the effectiveness of this training? And I know that's a challenge for all instructional designers. But anyway, to get back to your question, so, you know, we send out that questionnaire, gets a real high level overview of the project. And then if the content is already written, I have them send that to me as well, just so I can get an idea of how long it is and what it all entails and that kind of thing. Just gives me a better idea of what all to talk about in this kickoff meeting. Mm-hmm. So then we have the kickoff meeting, and there we go over the goals and objectives of the course if they don't already have goals and objectives. Sometimes they have objectives, but they're very low level. It's like, you know, you should know this or you should understand that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of help them focus more on what should the learner be able to do, not know. Mm-hmm. You know, so we kind of go over that. And then from there, it really varies. You know, like I said before, every project is different. So sometimes the content is pretty well written, you know, when it first comes to me, so we don't have to do a whole lot of rewriting. We just begin developing. But sometimes we need to do a lot of rewriting. And so we'll work with them two or three more times, you know, we'll work together and then go do some work on our own and come back together and review what we've done. So we'll do two or three more face-to-face meetings before we pass it off to the designer, and then the designer will, you know, develop it. So.
Okay. Awesome. So here's just a random question that popped into my mind. What do you guys do for assets? Like, do you go out and take pictures of, like, you know, real teachers in the classroom within the district so that it's sort of like, these are our people, this is us, like this is you, or do you guys use like stock photography?
Great question. So we have a media team that works with us. They do video recordings, and we have a studio that we can bring people in to record videos in, or we can go out to different schools and record. We also have photographers that go on, take pictures, and they're incredibly professional, you know, great quality. So yeah, we are very lucky that we have that at our disposal. So we use that because I think it's really great for the teachers and staff to see like our, you know, our campuses and, right. and our, it, you know, it's not just some random smiley teacher who's from stock photography, but it's, you know, and if you think about it, for those courses that every employee has to take, they're going to see themselves in there. They're like, oh, there's me, you know, there's my picture. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we like to do that when we can.
Awesome. Yeah. I remember a conversation with, one organization that I was contracting with, and they were talking about how they would go out, in the organizations that they were contracting with and use their employees in the videos and then in the photography, and how that made a huge difference in the engagement.
Yes.
So yeah, that's awesome. So you talked a little bit about two challenges that you've had working with SMEs, one of them being sort of knowing when to push back, and the other one being sort of helping them to actually create objectives and goals. Is there anything else that you would consider as a big and maybe unique challenge of working with SME teachers?
Well, you know, our SMEs are not actually teachers.
Oh, okay.
So really our audience would be teachers, but our SMEs would be those who work in the various departments of the district. And so, you know, I don't know if this is unique. Actually, I think this is very common to all instructional designers, but I think, you know, one of our biggest challenges would be timelines that get extended and even projects that get dropped halfway through or three-fourths of the way through. Mm-hmm. Because really, you know, most of the trainings that we offer, not all of them, but most of them, are also offered face-to-face. So the online version is a nice to have, especially because our district is so large and, you know, asking someone to drive an hour to come to this training after work like that, you know, that's a lot. So if you can offer an online version, it's just great because the employees can take it on their own time. They don't have to drive anywhere. But you know, it's not always a must have. Mm-hmm. So we've had situations in the past where we'll, you know, go through the development process and it's time to provide feedback. And, you know, I have to remind myself that it's not always the SME's first priority to finish this online course. You know, it's our first priority, but for them, they have other priorities. And this is, you know, number four or five on the list. So things come up and they don't always have the time or the capacity to provide the feedback that we need or the content that we need. So, you know, we've really tried to remedy this by just communicating a lot on the front end, like, hey, here's the timeline of how long this is going to take. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're going to need from you, you know, and, just really try to not surprise them with anything. It just helps if they know from the beginning, like, here's what we're going to need for this. And, you know, most of the time we can get all the way through it, but sometimes we have some situations where, you know, we get pretty far and then they say, you know, this is just not the best time. So we put it on the back burner for a while. And then after a few months, they might come back and say, okay, let's go ahead and finish this up. So. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So what do you find helps you to build relationships and trust with those SMEs when you're working with, you know, a new one that maybe you guys haven't worked with before?
Yeah. I think doing a face-to-face kickoff meeting is so important. You know, just letting them, because, you know, I've tried doing a virtual kickoff meeting before, and that just really wasn't effective because there's just something about meeting them face to face, taking a few minutes in the beginning of the meeting to just chat, mm-hmm. you know, and get to know the person on a more personal level. And just that right there builds trust, you know. And so taking that time to actually meet with them face to face, and then, you know, really explaining the process to them. A lot of them have no idea what goes into the closest thing that they can relate it to is building a PowerPoint, because mm-hmm. really that's the most similar thing that they've probably ever done. So really explaining to them what all goes into developing an online course, and just being really available to them and communicating with them often, you know, and making sure that, like I said before, there are no surprises, that, you know, you kind of let them know about everything that's coming. But I think that the most effective thing is just to meet with them face to face and let them get to know who you are, and you can get to know who they are. That just helps so much. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So when you're talking with them, so do you guys sort of say, hey, this is what instructional design is, and this is what we do, and do you use sort of instructional design-y type language for that, or how do you guys talk about what you do?
You know, we try not to use a lot of instructional design language and jargon. We really try to just put it into terms that they can understand, and then we found that showing them is a lot more effective than telling them, mm-hmm. you know? So, if you're talking, for example, about a scenario based course, they don't know what that is, you know, and as instructional designers, we can, as soon as you say scenario based course, you probably have an image in your mind of characters talking to each other, making decisions, you know, things like that, but mm-hmm. they've never seen that before. They don't get it, you know? So you have to show them, like, this is what I'm talking about. And that just helps so much if you have some examples in your toolbox that you can pull out mm-hmm. and say, here's what I think would work really well for this content. And just showing them and letting them experience it for themselves is really helpful.
Okay. I guess I find that a little surprising, given that, you know, these are people in a school district, that they wouldn't have sort of this, you know, because instructional design language and sort of the language of K-12 education is not that mm-hmm. far off, it seems like. It seems like there mm-hmm. would be a lot of overlap in the mm-hmm. strategies that you would use to, you know, educate somebody.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of overlap, and then there isn't. I think, you know, when it comes down to how we're going to develop the course and what it's going to look like mm-hmm. and things like that, that's when we really have to walk them through it. But, you know, when it comes down to developing goals and including, you know, activities and things like that, they completely get that because mm-hmm. they all write face-to-face training. So in a way they are instructional designers as well, but they just do it in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's another question that I always find interesting. Do you guys, as a school district, have to focus on accessibility?
Yeah, to a point we do. So, you know, we have a department that specializes in that mm-hmm. and we consult with them often. So we, you know, I don't know. Like I said before, I haven't worked in other fields, so I don't have anything to compare it to, but we focus on accessibility to a point, you know, like offering transcripts and, you know, for the images, including the description and things like that, you know. So we do it to a point, and all of that is based upon the data that we have on the employees and what type of challenges they may have. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. So Alyssa, how do you tackle trying to maybe implement a crazy new idea in your team?
You know, I think, like I mentioned before, you know, telling an idea is not always the most effective mm-hmm. way to get somebody to agree with your crazy idea. If you can show them you know, a good sample of, and, you know, here's my crazy idea and here's what it's going to look like. That helps so much, mm-hmm. You know, because like I said before, SMEs don't always know what an online course looks like. They might have seen a few, you know, that they've had to take themselves. But, you know, if you're trying to, for example, some projects that we're working on right now, we are taking some compliance courses that we've built in the past that have been kind of information based, just, you know, not really too engaging. And we're really trying to make them more engaging and interactive and include scenarios and things like that. But that can make the SMEs a little bit nervous sometimes, especially for compliance training, because, mm-hmm. you know, the language has to be written in a very specific way. We have to make sure we include, you know, this, this, and this. So when you tell them, well, we're going to rewrite your course, they're like, oh my gosh, what, you know? Mm-hmm. So it really helps if you can show them. So what we do is we just start doing it. We just start building it. And then we go and meet with them and show them. And yeah, it's a risk to put in that time in the beginning for something that they might completely disagree with and turn down, you know, but most of the time they go for it. Mm-hmm. I would say 99% of the time they go for it. So it's worth it to put in that time in the beginning and to show them that, you know, we're not going to take out any important content, but we're going to just present it in a different way, mm-hmm. you know, and then it really helps them to see what we're talking about.
What might be some things that you would look for in an instructional design colleague or employee?
I think someone who is a fast learner is very important. Most of the instructional designers that are on our team were not instructional designers before, and they did not know how to use the authoring tool. So it's really important that they're a fast learner, that they're not afraid of software. You know, if you are afraid to click on things, afraid that you're going to break it, you know, you're not going to break it. Just mm-hmm. take risks and try it all out and learn by doing, you know, so that's one thing that I would look for. And then also someone who is a researcher, someone who really is always trying to improve and develop their skills, you know, someone who is on eLearning Heroes every single day, reading up and just really trying to stay relevant, mm-hmm. you know, in their skills. Also someone who can take feedback really well. I think that's important. You know, we do weekly feedback sessions so that we make sure that the project is always on track, and just knowing that, you know, constructive feedback is not a negative thing. It's, you know, helping to improve the overall outcome of the course. So someone who is able to take that really well. And then, you know, a good eye for design, because that is important. And someone who's a good writer, because we do often have to rewrite content. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always looking for somebody who has the ability to write really well.
Awesome. Okay. Good insight. And so sort of as a follow-up to that, what is one skill that you think a newbie ID, maybe someone who is also coming from a teaching background, trying to get into the business, what do you think is one skill that they should develop?
You know, when I first started, I think I focused a lot on learning the authoring tool and figuring out what it can do and figuring out how to add cool animations and interactions and things, you know, to my projects, which is all fine and good. You do need to learn the authoring tool that you're using, but it's more important to learn how to synthesize content. And I didn't really start learning that until much, you know, further along. I basically took the content at face value and then tried to incorporate cool little clicky things to make it more interesting, you know. But really, the more important thing is to learn how to identify a goal and then focus on what the learner needs to do to achieve that goal and learn how to write the content in that way. So my advice to, you know, a new instructional designer would be to read Kathy Moore's blog. I mean, that's something that I often read, and it just really helps you to understand what does that mean to focus on what the learner should be able to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that is the more important thing, because, you know, adding cool animations and interactions, that can, to a point, take away from the learning. And I didn't quite get that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, good content, really well-written content, can be really powerful. And you don't have to have a lot of really incredible design. You know, if it's really well-written, a really well-written scenario can be very effective without a ton of visual design, you know? So I think it's more important to focus on that.
Awesome. Yeah, Kathy Moore is great. I read her all the time. Okay, so Alyssa, are you ready? It is time for the rapid fire portion of the show.
Okay, all right. Let's do this.
Awesome. Okay, so instructional designer or learning experience designer?
I would say learning experience designer.
What is one piece of advice you wish someone had given you as a beginner ID?
I would say learn how to, you know, like I said before, learn how to determine a goal and then rewrite content around that goal, and don't focus so much on the visual design of your projects.
Awesome. Yeah. And really actually advice that probably not a lot of people would give. So what books, blogs, or research are you reading lately?
A book I just read was Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath. Mm-hmm. And that was a great book. It talks a lot about how to design something that will stick in people's brains and they won't easily forget it. So that was a really cool one. And then one I'm reading now is Crucial Conversations. And that one's by Carrie Patterson. And it's just about how to have those tough conversations. Sometimes we have to have tough conversations with SMEs, mm-hmm. you know. So how to navigate those and how to, keep that trust with your SME even when you have to have one of those tough conversations.
Cool. What is one thing that should be in every ID's portfolio?
I would say, I'm going to say two things. I would say one thing would be, you know, try to include some kind of scenario interaction in your portfolio. And then also try to include a how-to type of interaction. Maybe that's just my personal opinion, but I really enjoy creating, you know, like how-to type of videos. Mm-hmm. So that I think that would be something else that's really good, because those two things are on the opposite end of the spectrum, I think. So if you could show that you can do both, I think that's really great.
Awesome. What is one piece of interview wisdom?
Interview wisdom. I would say don't try to be somebody that you're not. I think that you know what you know. And I think that it's good to show that you have enthusiasm. Definitely be enthusiastic, because that is that will set you apart. But also just be who you are, because this job has to be a good fit for you too. Mm-hmm. You know, not only do you have to be a good fit for the job, but it has to be a good fit for you too. So just keep in mind that you are interviewing them just as much as they're interviewing you. So be true to yourself, and then also show your enthusiasm.
Awesome. Yeah. What is the favorite project that you are working on right now?
I would say outside of work, just developing my blog and trying to keep up with it. I'm trying to write once every 2 weeks, but even that seems like a challenge. But it's good, because I wouldn't call myself the strongest writer. So it's really helping me to develop my writing and to become a better writer. And then inside of work, I would just say what I mentioned before, those compliance courses that we are revamping. It's a lot of fun.
Not sure many people would say, I love working on compliance courses.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, Alyssa, where can people catch up with you?
So you can find me at Twitter. My handle is @1AlyssaGomez, and my blog is alyssagomez.net. So you can catch up with me there.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Alyssa.
Absolutely. This has been so fun.
I was so excited to get Alyssa on the show because I've seen so many questions from teachers looking to stretch and thinking about that jump into instructional design. And I think that Alyssa shows us a great pathway that you can take. Instead of thinking about how you can make what may be a huge jump, think about how you can change your impact and work within the school district by becoming a trainer for your fellow teachers or creating online courses within your district. That may not be possible for all of you, but it's worth thinking about and asking about. Sometimes we get so caught up in this idea of the perfect job being somewhere out there that we don't take the time to really see what we can learn and what opportunities we can create or take advantage of within the context we're in right now. Something to think about. As always, be sure to thank Alyssa for sharing her journey with us. You can find her on Twitter at @OneAlyssaGomez or on her website, alyssagomez.net. Links to both in the show notes. If you've got any questions, please be sure to let me know about them. You can tweet at me. I'm @AnthChris, or you can shoot me an email at Kristen@DearInstructionalDesigner.com. And I want to encourage you to subscribe to the show and leave a review on iTunes for us. Your review helps me know what you're thinking, whether you're finding the show valuable, and what I can do to improve. Thank you so much for listening, and take care.